this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Chelsea won. Manchester United won. United dominated large swaths of the game. Definitely looked tired after the big match against Spurs midweek. Had some big chances. Rashford with one. Anthony with one. Bad penalty giveaway from McSauce, who has played well under this new manager. But a response from United, which was good to see. We pushed for that equalizer. We pushed and pushed and pushed and got one. Casemiro with a header. Just crosses the line by the hair on our very chin. And you know what? Draws, not the worst result. You know, better than losing. And it wasn't a bad performance from United by any means. But still, missing the end product. You know, you wish you had a number nine that could just finish like some strikers in the league. Erling Haaland, holy crap, you saw him today. But hey, 1 point coming from Stamford Bridge. How are we feeling?
Look, Stamford Bridge, it's always a tough place to play. Based on how we started the game and how well we were playing, if we just got a 0-0 draw, it would have felt disappointing. The fact that Chelsky got that penalty, I don't know what Scotty was thinking. Look, it's the footballing gods are fair and just, because if you recall Harry Maguire like absolutely destroyed Azpilicueta. There's that famous photo going around social media. That was arguably a penalty as well. Didn't get called. This one, it's a pen. I mean, I'm a Muppet, but that's just a bad decision by Scotty McTominay. You know, he comes on as a sub. Eric Ten Hag bringing on Fred, like our midfield at the time was Fred, McTominay, Casemiro. It was 0-0. That was a little bizarre from the manager there. And then a rash challenge by McTominay. Look, these usually aren't called. I agree, but like there has to be a line. And the fact that the Chelsea player was running like right at it, wide open, and the only thing he was doing was playing middle linebacker. That's a pen. That's just a penalty and a bad decision from Scotty. And then we get the winner. I think the real takeaway from this game for me is should have done better in the first half. Graham Potter made the adjustments. We couldn't match those adjustments. And then as soon as we went down due to a pretty harsh penalty, that's a tough way to lose. We fought back. United fought back. This team has the character. They have the mentality to get the Casemiro goal. You saw how like that Chelsea goal brought it out of us away, and we fought to the death, scored it to death. Shout out to Sir Alex. Little Fergie time there. I mean, that fight shows us we got a team.
I love it. It's true. It's absolutely true. United controlling large swaths, especially in the first half, a couple of big chances. That Anthony one is the one that kind of, you know, rings out in my head the most, because I made my infant son cry because I yelled so loud. I couldn't believe he missed that one on his right foot. I'll tell you what, if it was on his left, he would have finished that. Second half, you're totally spot on there. Subs, more so of like who you got available, but really, he did get a response from Chelsea. But what I thought was the big one was when Varane went down, the team lost a real bit of its swagger. We just looked kind of like who was pulling the leadership card in the back five. You know, De Gea contributes, obviously, Martinez contributes, but like Varane not having him there, it just felt like we were a little bit less confident. And then, dude, you can't defend. I mean, it's a penalty all day. It's just like an absurd penalty to give away to some no-name striker named Broha, like you've never heard of. Like, you don't need to drag him down in the box. It's not a, you know, it's not even Silva. It's not a player that's like so dangerous that you're so worried about him. You got to tear down Van Dijk, you know, for a penalty. It's like, who is this dude you gave a penalty to?
No, he beat McTominay, and the ball was going to a wide-open spot that he was attacking, and that's why he had to take him down. But again, it could have been a great header opportunity. But it just felt like we were kind of wandering through that second half, especially with those changes. And we had Bruno at number nine at one point. It was really all over the place. And obviously, like, you're like, who else does he have? We have Garnacho, who, by the way, was like lights out playing on the left wing, playing at number nine. And he did it coming in last season, looked really sharp. Alonga. We even have Pelestri. What is he doing on the bench if he's never going to feature? We have other players, and I have to think, like, Rashford on the left, Garnacho at number nine with Bruno in the hole when it's 0-0 at Stamford Bridge is better than playing Fred McTominay and Casemiro if you're trying to steal something, and we weren't. It was just one of those things where, you know, I haven't seen training. I don't know what Ten Hag does, but that's a very weird midfield, and to put Bruno at nine – And then take Rashford off so quickly after you finally put him out on the left, where he's looked amazing this season. I kind of felt like we weren't able to make any real material adjustments that could have spurred us on. It was a Chelsea goal that woke us up and got us to draw. So a draw is probably what we deserved at the end of the day, because the start probably begged for a goal, and the second half probably begged for a Chelsea goal. And that's what's frustrating about it, because this probably is an incomplete squad, and we could have maybe used Ronaldo out there at some points to finish. I really think if you had Rashford on the left and Ronaldo at number nine, you know, it would have been worth it. That's what my point was last week. The fact we need Ronaldo. We need another number nine. I don't care if it's Garnacho. I don't care if it's Ronaldo, but you got to be putting Rashford on the left and putting one of those at number nine.
He picked his own destiny. Guy doesn't even want to come off the bench there, so he made it the coach's decision clear for him.
But we hurt today because we didn't have somebody.
Yeah, but he had to punish Ronaldo because Ronaldo did a selfish act that needs to.
Well, then play Garnacho.
Yeah, but Garnacho's not ready to start against a Chelsea side that's a lot more physical.
Not
than the
start.
Spurs side.
I didn't say start. So here's the thing. Newsflash: Rashford ain't scoring at number nine, bro. Like, that's the problem. Rashford isn't playing well at number nine. He didn't play well before. He played amazing on the left, scored his goals there. He's come back at number nine, doesn't play well there. He's got to go back on the left, and we need someone to score at the striker position. I don't care if it's Ronaldo or Garnacho. Play someone else there.
Well, neither are number nine. I mean, obviously Ronaldo's a number nine, but Garnacho's a winger, so even playing him would be playing out of position. So at the end of the day, we need more options. We need more players, and we need more signings. Things that have been forecasted by our director of football that's not going to happen in this January transfer window. But in the day, we played well. We played arguably well enough for a win. We did let them come back into the game, but they didn't have any really big chances. It wasn't like De Gea was making saves left, right, and center. Got to be more clinical, and I agree. I think he did more to kind of just control the game.
But
not go for that win. Yeah, but we had a bunch of chances
Chalobah
in the second half as well, sir.
Yeah. Chalobah like dominated Fred and like dunked it off the bar on like a corner, which was a riot. I don't know what Fred is doing marking Chalobah on a corner, which is like something we've struggled with. But it just felt like this is a game we put behind us. It's a draw, and let's learn from it. I think we really got to learn from it. I think we really got to learn from the second half, because this goal was always in us, and I just felt like we weren't running all cylinders. Sir, quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils and you want to support this small-time operation, support independent fan content, the best way to do so is Patreon. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We don't have commercial sponsors on the podcast. For our Patreon page, we post a behind-the-scenes episode every single month. We give away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. Please check out our Patreon page and support us. We have around 69 members, I think. We're trying to get to 100. Check it out. Sign up. It goes a long way. It helps support us. Another way to support us, check out our website, AmericanRedDevils.com. We have great fan-generated blog content there. And check out our store, AmericanRedDevils.store. Pick up a scarf, beanie, shirt, you name it. It's all awesome stuff, and everything you buy supports this pod. Sir, tell about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews, 5-star reviews of the American Red Devils, wherever you listen. It's a great way to support the pod, whether it be on iTunes or Spotify or wherever. And even better, we're giving away free American Red Devil gear. All you have to do, write a 5-star review wherever you listen, send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I'll personally pick, pack, and ship some free American Red Devil gear. Send it right to your door anywhere in the world. We got a hot review coming off the presses. Five stars from eBombay. Best podcast for United for USA. Been listening to them every single week since I found them. They are funny, informative, and you can tell they love our Red Devils. It feels like I'm chilling in Manchester having a brew at the pub with my mates. Cheers from Milwaukee. Glory, glory, Man United as the Reds go marching on. Appreciate you. Appreciate all the Red Devils writing those five-star reviews. They go a long way, sir. Help us found by other Muppets who enjoy breaking down the greatest team in the world, even when they get a frustrating result at the Bridge. Tough place. We've had a tough run of fixtures with Chelsea. They always seem to end in a draw. Moments of goodness, moments of badness in this game, but by and large, it was a solid performance.
You know, Graham Potter
arguably could have won it.
Not a solid second half performance. We were outplaying them. He brought on Kovacic. Potter made the adjustments. We never recovered from that. And that
that's why he brought on Fred. He was trying to add another midfielder because Kovacic has such an impact when he came on at the end of the first half. So I think he's trying to counter him. Good.
And we didn't, and that didn't work. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like we had him, and then you have to give credit to him making the adjustments. Kovacic came on, and then it was just like we nullified each other after that because we were just crushing them in the midfield, and then it nullified everything. All right, let's jump into it. Chelsea 1, Manchester United 1. It's a draw at Stamford Bridge. We hate the Chelsea scum. Let's get into that starting 11. Dave saves world number one in net. Luke Shaw left back. Martinez, Varane. Shout out to Varane. Get better soon. Delo right back. Eriksen, Casemiro, Bruno midfield. Sancho on the left. Rashford at number 9 and Antony on the right.
You know, not too many big surprises in this 11. Back five all picks itself. Eriksen was the only one where is he going to come in for Fred? Obviously, we know Ronaldo wasn't available after he didn't make the squad. Punishment for walking off and not refusing to come on as a sub in the last match. But no real shocker in this game. I was hoping that you'd see Eriksen really kind of unlock, you know, this Chelsea defense, and unfortunately, it wasn't the case. Scratchy passing all around. We were not quite on our game. I think we really showed some fatigue from having played only 3 days ago, given how much they worked on Wednesday against Spurs. But what did you make of this 11 when you saw it?
I think it picked itself, honestly. I did think Casemiro did an amazing job. I mean, what a player. We have to talk about him as we get into this game. But jumping in first half, game started a little cagey, but United controlled much of the half. That's exactly what happened. Sancho getting the ball in great places, doing absolutely nothing with it. A player that's undroppable based on, the Ronaldo situation, and then Rashford can't play there. So it's one of those things where we were kind of probing, but there was nothing, no end product. We get in great positions and we just weren't direct. We saw glimpses of it. 9th minute, Shaw, he went close with a nice strike. 13th minute, Antony forces Kepa in a decent save. This was a great play from Manchester United all around. And then 27th minute, great chance for Rashford after Bruno wins the ball back. Too many touches and the chance is gone.
This is a big chance.
This is what in a fat touch too.
I know.
This is why Rashford at number 9. There's no knock against Marcus Rashford. He is a world class left winger, absolutely world-class left winger who could score a brace in this game playing on the left. That's why I'm trying to say play anyone but him at number 9, because it's too much to think about when you're playing number 9. You got to touch it one way or the other, your right foot, your left foot. There's too many decisions for him to make. Left winger, he doesn't even need to think. And that's where you're seeing Rashford having some issues. So I would rather get the best out of Marcus on the left and have give Garnacho a shout at number 9, because if he's doing nothing, it doesn't matter because Rashford's could play so much better on the left. It's like playing to our best player's strengths right now that we're not doing. It's a square peg in a round hole, and with this one, you can see it.
Not a lot of options to play up front. I don't think he wants to throw the new kid in. And Rashford, he's making an impact. He's getting chances, but it's just like, he just doesn't look as dangerous as when he cuts in from the left side. And also, you want to play Rashford on the left because Sancho also doesn't look great. You know, he's not keeping up that form that he started the Premier League season with, and now he just kind of looks like last season Sancho.
Why aren't you playing Rashford on the left?
Because we don't have number 9.
Sancho's not doing anything. So then play Bruno at false 9. I'm fine with that. Put Eriksen in the hole. Play Casemiro and Fred to start. you need something else. You need to be getting Rashford in his best position. Bruno false nine, Eriksen at number 10, and then play Fred behind him if you don't want to start Garnacho. These are different options that we could do. We have to make these moves if we're going to like make Ronaldo train with the 21s and we don't want to play Garnacho. We got to be making these types of changes because we got to be playing to Rashford's strengths. I've seen too many chances these last couple of games that he's not scoring. 33rd minute, Rashford forces Kepa in another save. Low driven shot, hard at the keeper. How many times have we seen that? Frustrating stuff from United. We should be ahead. We should be having Haaland score these goals for us, sir. 38th minute, Aubameyang is playing for Chelsea. Aubameyang and Sterling. Whoa, I'm shaking my boots.
Yeah, how much they do? This is about it.
yeah, exactly. Aubameyang curls the shot wide with Chelsea's first chance of the match. We dominated here, and this is, again, we should be, sir. So
big ones at the end. The big ones at the end.
And then the 45th minute, golden chance for Anthony on his weaker foot. It was ahead of him. He stretched, towed it, blasted wide. Should score, but man, he's got that great left boot. It all went to the left boot, not the right boot.
I'm about to say. I mean, he didn't hit it badly. It's just that he missed it, and he wasn't too far out from the goal. But, you know, he's got a great left foot. He doesn't have as great of a right foot. He's going to get a lot of chances, unfortunately, just because of the way United play, like this chance in particular, where he's going to have to at least shoot on his right foot. So this is a big one. You would have thought, like, honestly, the 27th minute chance was probably the best with Rashford. Like, he has to score. Same kind of chances he had kind of ad nauseum against Spurs in the midweek, where it's like he really just needed to place the goal, pass it to the back of the net, and he just, more power, bro. He's just blasting it. That's all he's been doing. And unfortunately.
Or cut it back to his left, you know? If you're right, you're not confident in your right foot, try to chop it back to your left. I thought Anthony looked good. Second half starts, but it's a little more. It's really this 52nd minute sub, Fred for Sancho, right? Trying to counter what Potter did, bringing on Kovacic. And then obviously 60th minute, you hate to see a Varane crying. Non-contact injury with the knee. He knows he did his knee. I mean, if you've done your knee once,
you could tell.
If you've done your knee once, I mean, you've done your knee famously in pickup.
That's what it looks like.
You want to talk to that feeling?
Yeah, like you know right away. You hear a pop, you feel it. That was my first time doing my knee. I'm sure we know his injury record, and he's gotten injured more times than we would like. So he knows the feeling, and he knows it was a bad one, and he knows we're a month away from the World Cup where he's a starter. I think he's the captain for France, and likely he's not going now.
Heartbreaking for Varane. I mean, we are just such a different team with him in our side, and I'm hoping it's nothing serious. You want to hope it's not serious, right? But his reaction tells you everything you need to know, because if you've had bad knees, and then you know what it feels like, and then you have that type of reaction.
You know.
It's got to be an ACL, or, you know, it's a 6 to 9 month injury. So how long are we going to be paying him top dollar on these bionic knees?
I mean, when he plays, he's worth it. You know, he gets paid the exact same amount of money as Sancho, and Sancho never plays as to the level that, you know, Varane's been putting in, week out. Also, the team's confidence like dropped like a stone. It just like it almost went quiet. You know, there wasn't the same players pumping each other up, players pushing each other, reaction after forcing the team into a corner. It was just like, I feel like, you know, we lost our kind of general in the back, and I don't know. I felt like that was really noticeable for me because.
He's
going to be in that position probably that McTominay's in for the penalty if he wasn't off injured, and he's not going to pull that guy down like that, right?
Since we signed him,
yes.
Groin, yeah. Hamstring. He had a stomach. Then he had COVID. Then he had a muscular issue, sprained ankle. That was this season. And then if he does his knee, he's already missed 16 games. And I missed a ton for Madrid as well. Thoughts go out to him. You know, hope he gets better. He's such a player. I just wish, you know, he wasn't made of glass. But if you've seen this game so much, you know, like there's players who get injured that keep getting injured. It's just the way it goes. Lindelof comes on. 76th minute, Fred forces the keeper into a tap over. Dude, Fred also shot when he shouldn't have. I felt like this was not like Fred again. This is who Fred is, right? Worldie of a game against Tottenham comes in here. I didn't think he looked that great this game. Not horrid, but bad decision making. 81st minute sub, Elanga for McTominay for Rashford and Eriksen. This sub makes no sense because right before this, Bruno went to number 9. Rashford went out on the left. And I was like, okay, finally we get Rashford in his best position, and then we hook him. And we hook Eriksen as well. And who are we bringing on? McTominay and Elanga. If you're trying to win the game, I don't think those players are going to help you win the game. Because you don't have a striker. You have Bruno there.
You didn't start the game with a striker, if you think about it, because Rashford's been the left winger for the last two seasons. And to be fair, I think there's a lot of this is because of the game a couple of days ago. It's like Rashford didn't play his best, and at this point was dog tired. Like he was beat. He had nothing left. And Eriksen didn't play great, you know, for how well he's played this season. Scratchy passes, giving the ball away, not the same level of energy that we'd seen sometimes. So like I kind of get it. I also do think this is a hangover from the midweek game. But I also hear what you're saying. He's so good on the left. I only want to see him on the left. His speed, his directness. And I also think he's just more confident there, which leads to better chances and better finishing. But
look at the goals he scored.
He's got to listen to his old manager. I tell you what, Ole was right about one thing. He talked about this. Ole talked about this a lot.
No, like, but he's not a nine,
so
dude.
He's a place it sometimes.
No, but he's just, he needs to be coming. It's like he needs to be coming up the left. He's not a nine. You need to find someone who can play there. I think it's next man up. You're at the bridge. You're trying to get a point, and then Hag goes conservative, lock it up here with McTominay, Fred, Casemiro midfield. And what does that do?
You got no one on the bench. I think you can't be like, oh, I have Garnacho. Like, he's ready to go. U23 player. You know, it's just that's a little bit of a reach, especially Chelsea at the bridge.
I don't think that's a reach. I don't think it's a reach at all because if you saw Garnacho coming into the first team towards the end of last season, he was ready.
I saw that too. But like, obviously, Hag doesn't think he's ready.
Last season, he got reps and he looked really good. He looked really sharp. He looked good, ready to go. Now, Palestri, you can't say the same thing, but I know Garnacho has it and he's been iced out. So it's got to be next man up, right? If you don't have players, you got to use what you got at a certain point. Is Elanga a better option?
He scored more goals in the Premier League, and he's clearly next in line, right? Because he went like Ronaldo was pulled in to be a sub, and he said, nah, I'm good. So next up was Elanga. So I'd imagine that's why he came on tonight. He didn't look, no one looked that great at the end. We were pushing. He was involved. I think Garnacho's ready to get some minutes, bro. And I'm thinking Thursday is when he's ready to get some minutes. That's like a perfect chance. Shit team, Europa League. We've already basically made it through the group as long as we don't bottle the last two games. We're going for first now over Saucy Dad. But either way, like, I hear you, sir, but it's a finished squad with so many injuries and the fact that you had to hook your number 9 because of discipline. He wasn't in a great position, right? Ronaldo, he comes on the 70th minute. He would have impact because there were close chances.
Exactly,
curling balls.
Yes. But I know.
It was his decision to say, I won't go into a fucking football game and I'm getting paid $500,000
a week. There's more to it than that, obviously. There's always more to it. Of course there's more to it than just, it's not as simple as like he didn't come in the 88th minute and then that's why we have to suspend him. It's like, we can talk about that in the news section, but I think it's a man management business. And as I said, if I'm a manager and I look at my roster and everyone's saying we got nobody on the bench, then why are we like putting our thumb down on Ronaldo and making him sit on the bench when we need to keep him happy because we need him scoring this season for Manchester United? It's not a fight I would pick it as the manager of Manchester United. Ten Hag's picked that fight. And then here we are arguing about who should be coming into a game where we're playing well and we got nobody. And that's really the front office's issue, sir. But let's get to this horrible call from the referee in the 87th minute.
Big cry for a penalty. Brilliant, it's over. Penalty given. Surrounded by red shirts. The penalty has been checked, will be given. The offender is McTominay.
Well, you certainly see he's holding him. Left arm, right arm. It's going to be given. And how many times have you seen this sort of manhandling and penalties not given? It's quite refreshing to see a referee actually following the law.
A football match which could come down to one kick of the ball. Here is that kick. Jorginho, Chelsea!
Oh, so I'll tell you what, Jorginho's good at penalties. It's a stonewall penalty all day. I don't know what McSauce is thinking. Whoever's calling the game did make a good point. That you have seen these in the Premier League quite a bit, and we lament often about the lack of consistency in this game. There was a penalty that felt like the one we were looking for on Sancho, I guess, last week against Newcastle. That was given in one of the matches. I think it was in the City match against Brighton today. But either way, this is definitely a penalty, but we just, you know, you oftentimes don't see the same thing called because I know that Magoo's done that quite a few times, just drag somebody down in the box and nothing gets called.
I think the reason why it was called, and it's tough because you hate to see this, it's like, for whatever reason, around corners and Manchester United defending corners is that I've been nervous, right? I was nervous, and then it's like Fred does a horrible job on Chalabai, it's the bar. So, like, you have to say this isn't like, this is something that has played us for seasons. And then with this one, McTominay beat like a dog. And then he tackles the dude. And the reason is it's an open header. If you look where the ball's coming in, he has a clear line, wide open view of it. And McTominay intervenes like in like an NFL type of way. That's why it's a penalty. Like if the ball was over his head, wouldn't it be called? But it was wide open for him, would have been a good opportunity, and that's the penalty. And obviously you hate to see Jorginho on the spot.
You know what's going to happen.
And Bruno given De Gea the intel on which way he's going to go and goes the other way. I thought that was also a riot as well. Yeah. Just shout out to all the fans, shithousery fans. But the biggest point in this game, the subs, the bench, no Ronaldo, can't finish, played well, made adjustments. Chelsea made adjustments, nullified us, is that they put this opportunity in and these lads are like, hell nah. And they fought. And this mentality we
haven't seen
the
pod, this. When's the last time we saw this, sir? Away at the bridge. And we actually were pushing and pushing and pushing. They scored in the fucking 87th minute. And we deserve this equalizer.
But I almost feel like if Chelsea didn't score, the game would have ended 0-0.
100%.
It's like this wouldn't 100%. Have come.
Yeah.
And what a play and what a player that Casemiro is for Manchester United. Let's get into it. 94th minute.
Dalot hoisted in long. He reaches Antony. No longer looking to juggle. Thiago Silva away. Shaw's delivery. Is it? They're insisting it is, and so it is. Casemiro engulfed. Millimeters in a match of margins. He was made to wait. A wait worth so very, very much.
So I'll tell you what. We might have bought two quote-unquote over-the-hill worldies from Real Madrid. And if one turns out to be always injury-plagued and the other is not, and that other is not, is Casemiro. I mean, he was player of the game for Manchester United today. He was all over the pitch. Like, some of our other midfielders looked pooped. He looked like he had plenty of gas in the tank. And how much that goal meant to him. That is, what a reaction. That's all United fans want. We just want players that want to play for the badge, give it all they got. Great headed curling ball that beats Kepa. And just by the hair of our chinny chin chin over the line, but a huge goal for Manchester United and a much deserved point. You know, Erik ten Hag probably didn't get it all right. The Ronaldo thing bit him in the ass because he probably would have been useful today. But at the end of the day, a point is not an unfair result against a team that's playing well at a difficult place to play.
Exactly. It's away. It's at Chelsea with a new manager, but it's a tough place to play. We had a great first half until Kovacic came on and they just completely nullified it. It's a shame that we lack the finishing in our front line where our right winger and our left winger cost $150 million. You know, we have not bought a number nine since Lukaku, and that has killed us. Like, we are dying. I mean, Ronaldo, we did buy Ronaldo, but obviously hasn't featured, but a young upcoming striker is what we've needed for 4 or 5 years, right? Even buying Ronaldo, you knew this past summer, we would have to buy another striker because Ronaldo is only a year and you need somebody to come in behind Ronaldo. And obviously Martial, he's injured. We said, oh, we're going to bring Martial back from Sevilla, and then he's been injured. It's more of the same, and it's frustrating when you're seeing Ten Hag continually fighting with one arm behind his back because of the board, because of the front office of Manchester United. And it's
them Glazers.
It's amazing what he's done with what he has, but both our number nines, Martial and Rashford, are out, and Manchester United should have four
easily. Right.
Right. They should literally have three like locked on first team, and they should have like another one who's like on the cusp of playing with the youth and then pulling him up to kind of test him out. We need like a Ronaldo. We need Martial. We need Sesko. And then we need like another super young prospect coming in behind. That's like literally how stacked we have to be. And we have Ronaldo who's trying to leave in January and doesn't want to play for the team. We have Martial, who's not available. And Rashford, we're playing our left winger out of position, which doesn't do him any good. So it's just really a frustrating dynamic at Manchester United. But shout out to the team for a great result. And you know what, sir? Pardon my French. Fuck Chelsea.
Dude, fuck Chelsea. Fuck Chelsea. Always. Like, doesn't matter who owns them. They're still the Chelsea of yours. They're still Chelsea scum. And at the end of the day, think about it. Your spot, what you're saying about us having a striker, not having a striker, this team with an Ivan Toney in it, with a Sesko in it, over the last 8 games, those draws, a lot of them would have turned into wins. And, you know, one or two of those losses might have turned into a win as well. So, crying out for it. You know, they kind of like used the budget all for two players because they waited so late in the window and didn't respond until we started the season so poorly. And they're already forecasting, so they ain't spending a dollar in January because it's all going to be about whether or not we finish the top four.
So next year, let's talk next year. Ronaldo's gone. We have Martial through 25, but he's injury prone. We need two strikers next summer.
Yeah.
They aren't going to buy one.
They'll buy one maybe.
But it's like we're never getting back to where we need to be from like a full squad perspective. And look at the stats. 13 shots to United to Chelsea 6. 6 on target to their 2. 53% of the ball to their 47. We're missing someone who can finish. That is the whole dynamic. This game was won if we have a number 9 who is a focal point, can hold the ball up and put the ball in the back of the net. Manchester United has always had a great striker on their great teams.
Multiple great strikers. Like the best teams have had
usually
multiple.
3 or 4.
Right.
No Premier League fixture has been drawn as often as Chelsea against Manchester United, which has been drawn 26 times. Indeed, 7 of the last 9 meetings between the sides have finished level, including each of the last 5 in a row. Sir, you want to give the up on the table while cover my ears and shut my eyes?
Keep those ears covered. Arsenal are still top. I think they're playing tomorrow against Southampton. City win again. They're 1 point behind with 26 points. Spurs right behind them with 23. Chelsea scum in fourth place at 21. And then United sit right outside the top four in fifth at 20 points. We got Newcastle behind us and Liverpool. They lost to Nottingham Forest of all teams, which was a riot. Your boy Dino having a big game. And that's the way it looks, sir. Big matches between now and the World Cup. We got West Ham. We got a couple other big fixtures. And it's all about finishing strong. I think we got Fulham as well. I think that's the last match. Villa, whether or not... Oh, they got a new manager, right? Stevie G got the hack. We went through the tough matches, sir. If you were to look back at it and say, you know, Newcastle, Spurs, Chelsea, 5 points. Two draws and a win. That's, you know, could be worse.
Look, you're talking about the tough set of fixtures for October. We still got West Ham. That is at home. So we get 3 points there. You know, I'm saying that's a strong B. But you have to look at Newcastle and Chelsea. And, you know, you went through the table. We ain't in the top four. And those points get us there by a convincing margin. And if we keep draw, if like a draw West Ham situation, you know, we got to be putting the ball in the back of the net. That's just how we're going to climb up the table. We have a zero goal differential. It's not top four material at the end of the day. Like, we're back to zero.
Well, we, you know, lost by three to City. We lost by more to, who's that, Brentford or Brighton at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, that doesn't get you top four.
Yeah, but this was a tough run. I mean, I know. But, like, dude, there's wind at our back at the end of the day. We need a striker. And I think, like, all things considered, we got a great win against Spurs. Newcastle, we could have arguably won that game. And today, yeah.
No,
it's
probably dropping
honestly
points.
What was fair.
But, like, dropping, like, all I'm saying is you want top four. Dropping points is not how to do it, right? Like losing the City, I'm not complaining there. It's drawing Newcastle is probably the one that you have to look at and say some points went begging, but we beat West Ham. Unless you're not trying to get in the top four, sir.
Of course we're trying to get in the top four, sir. That's why they spent $200 million over the summer.
Well, that's what I'm trying to, if your expectation is like six, then yeah. Like,
but
you
we're
know,
like right in, they were a point out. We're right in the hunt, you know, after how the season started to be like, to get some big wins at home against Spurs, against Liverpool, against Arsenal. Now it's some shit runs, bro. We have three games against West Ham, 14th place, Villa's in 17th place, and then we got Fulham, who actually played the best of the lot in 9th place. You know, if we can get two wins and a draw, I think we'll be in the top four because Spurs, we've seen they're vulnerable. Arsenal, inevitably, you're going to let up. Chelsea, you know, they seem to be a solid team under Graham Potter, so...
But it's never the big games that got us out of the top four, is what is you know.
No, you got to win the West Ham.
It's the Newcastle. It's the West Hams. It's the Villa. It's the Fulhams. It's the Wolves. Those are the games that cost us top four at the end of the day. So, look, I'm just more excited the fact that this team has fight. Erik ten Hag's starting to play the way he wants to play, and we're just lacking some key pieces of that puzzle. And a big element of that is getting Ronaldo back on side, which hopefully Ronaldo, after eating his slice of humble pie, comes back and scores like a ton of goals. Like, could it be written in the stars that like pissed off Ronaldo leaving Old Trafford comes back hungrier than he ever has before and just like lights it up? I don't know, but we need someone who's number nine scoring goals for this team if we want to kick on to bigger and better things. But what do we know? Let's check in with the man, the manager, Erik ten Hag.
Spirit in the end there?
Yeah, quite clear. And I have to make the team a compliment for that. When you are capable of doing that, I think it's for the rest of the season that they can put energy and belief out of this, that you never are unbeaten till the last whistle of the ref. If you can keep going as a team, that is the strength you need as a team to win in the end of the season a position what you want.
Special for Casemiro to get his first goal for United and right in front of those fans there. Great moment.
Great. A great header. But yeah, it was from a throw-in, and then it was a fight. Ball came out, and the header, you see, is belief to score that goal. And I think he's the example for many other players in our squad. If you bring that belief on the pitch, you win games.
There weren't that many chances in the game, but did you feel that we should have been ahead probably by half time?
Second half, my opinion was we weren't that good on the ball. And that was the problem. But first half, we played really well on the ball. And we created also good chances with Rashford twice and Anthony.
Yeah.
And I think on this level, such chances one has to be in. And that is what we can demand from our players. But you don't always get what you deserve. But you have to get it by yourself. And that is a responsibility we have to take.
It was a horrible...
Erik ten Hag always plays it down the middle, sir. You know, he said played well in the first half, had our chances. We weren't nearly as good on the ball in the second half. But showing that belief, that fight, right? Not calling defeat on yourself until the very last whistle. And that's what this team needs. This team needs to have that belief. You know, that is what marked a lot of the great teams of yore at this great club, was just never say die. Never. You ain't out until the final whistle. You keep pushing. And you just see how much it mattered to the boys, which is good to see. Just some resiliency, some heart growing at the club. Martinez, like, jumping in with the fans like a proper Argentine player. And Casemiro just, like, leaning into that celebration. Why not? Enjoy it.
Look what it meant to Casemiro, too. I mean, what a player. We're looking like such a different team with him coming into his own at Manchester United. It's exactly what we want to see. He's a dog. You see those challenges he makes. It's like...
He wears 70, like, bro. He's wears 70 all day.
No, exactly. Let's get a season. Let's get a season. You know, I need a durability from him. But like these challenges that, like, you know, maybe like Lindelof would, you know, like not, and he just goes blah, just like right in, just like win the ball, like no problem, like
every header, he,
so decisive. His decision making's awesome in the midfield. Some of the passes he picks out, he's like so. He's the antithesis of everything we've been playing the ball at the back.
He's the opposite.
He's
of
calm, cool under pressure. Absolute player. What a header! Worldy of a header. Needed that goal, got that goal, and it's a great feeling. And for Manchester United as a team, as fans looking in, you could say, "Oh, we don't have that number nine, etc." But as a team, for that locker room, that was a win. That was a win for those players. They're going to come out feeling on a high. They're going to be like, when we're down, away, we can fight back. This is going to build a lot of character at Manchester United. That's what we've been lacking. You're starting to see a nucleus of players, dare I say some leaders, who are going to develop a certain way to play that is the Manchester United way. It doesn't include walking off before the game is over. And this core of players will be with us for a while. And that's very exciting to see. So we might be on the bubble of top four this season because we don't have the rest of the pieces, but you're starting to see what this manager can do and what this group of players can do. And it's exciting. The problem is we're Manchester United fans, sir. We want to win.
We want it
four
all.
We wanted to win four titles this past 10 years.
Oh yeah.
And least. So we're like, and it's all on the come. And that's why we're hungry for signings, thirsty for trophies. You can hear it in our voices. As United fans, we need dubs. We need wins. Yesterday, sir, we're dying for it.
We are. And this manager is on to something. He is building a core nucleus of players. He's brought in some really top players. Martinez, Casemiro. Even Anthony, I think he's got something special. And at the same time, bring out the best in some of the players we also have. Shaw looked good today again. Even DeLow looked really good. Really, really good. I thought he played well, all being said. My fear is this, sir. My fear is, like, he's going to get us to the top four either this year or next. They're going to give him just enough to get there, and then they're going to stop investing. And we're going to be limited once again by the Glazers. Because they're not going to go all the way. They're not going to want to actually spend the money to compete for the title. They just want to have a top four team because that's
the club's broke, dude. Broke. Like the club, we're not going to spend money because we're broke. It's like
broke.
We need like three number nines. We're like going to maybe sign like bargain bin like Arnautovic for like $9 million like next summer. Like that's the type of stuff that they're going to do with this team. We need new ownership, sir. Hashtag Glazers out. You know it. But sir, we got a next match. There's a theme song. You want to play it? Hans and Franz on the turntables. It's group stage almost over.
You ready for this hot fire?
Hot fire. It is the Europa League. Manchester United versus Sheriff, or as Alex has famously coined, Sheriff.
Sheriff.
at Old Trafford under the lights, Thursday night football, not on Amazon Prime. Different type of football if you're in the United States. It is Thursday, October 27th. Close to Halloween. Noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Games won Lifetime versus Sharif. We won one. Beat them 2-0 in that famous win. That famous mold of a win. Coming into this one, Sharif, they got slapped around by Saucy Dad. Twice. They beat Dynamo Otto. I don't know how you pronounce a word with an S and an F right after that. So Spintool Jorge.
How's it feel, bro?
And FC Bati. They've been winning in the Moldovan Cup. As well, they beat Speranta Drochia 6-0. Dracula's the famous owner there. Team Dracula.
Team Dracula.
They beat them 6-0, you know. And they're just, doing what Sharif does in the no-name competitions they play in. So if Saucy Dad's the bar, they beat them on aggregate 5-0. So let's beat them 3-0. A little history on Sharif, commonly known as Sharif Tiraspol, or simply Sharif, is a Moldovan professional football club based in Tiraspol, a city located in the unrecognized breakaway state of Transnistria. And apparently the breakaway state of Transnistria is similar to the Donbass province in Ukraine, where Russia has a breakaway state in Moldova. And then this football club has been allegedly... similar to like Abramovich laundered money to sort of spread this state, the breakaway state, the cause of the breakaway state. And the club was founded in 1997, similar time like Chelsea Investment, Tiraspol, and rebranded the following year as Sharif. It quickly established itself with Moldovan football. Their nickname is the Wasps. They recorded their first debut in the 98-99 season when they also won their first trophy, the Moldovan Cup. And they've since amassed 20 championship titles, 11 cups, and 7 Super Cups. So you can kind of see the theme of this team coming in and then winning big. On the European stage, Sharif has reached the group stage of the UEFA Europa League on 5 occasions and became the first ever Moldovan side to reach the group stages of the 21-22 Champions League, where they would go on to beat eventual champions Real Madrid. So they don't mess around. Don't have anyone playing for them that you recognize. They do play the 5-3-2. They're going to pack it in, hit us on the break. Let's do the business early here and then get some subs in, get some kids some playing time.
Do they have any random American players, like mixed Discarud, like hanging out in Moldova?
No.
That's unfortunate. So, I think they're basically out of it. They're below us, and they need, I think, 2 wins and 1 win against us, of course. So they're going to be feisty. You know, every team that comes to Old
Trafford.
They're
not out of it.
They're at 3 points, I believe, right? And we have 9.
The group... Real Sociedad is 12 points. We have 9. Sharif have 3. Ammonia have 0. So Sharif plays Ammonia on the last game. If Sharif beats Ammonia, they would have 6. And if they beat us and we lose to Sociedad, then we would be tied and then we'll go to the tiebreaker. So this game is big. We need to win. We win and we are in. That is how it works. So we're playing at home. Never heard this team before, this competition, so we should do it. Injuries, Magoo is checking his phone on the bench. Wan-Bissaka apparently could come back on the 27th. So for this game, Martial as well. Van de Beek, no return. Williams, no return. Twanzebe, no return. Ronaldo suspended at Varane. Obviously, his knee is currently being assessed. So I think Ronaldo is coming back for this game. Do you see Ten Hag maybe starting him? I think you should. But given those injuries, what is your starting 11 here? Sheriff at home.
I do think so. I think we're going to do a throwback. Dubravka in net. He's going to get his first minutes. AWB, get a start. It's a good opportunity for him to get some minutes right against the lowly Sharif. Lindelof McGuire, that's what I meant by a throwback. Old center back pair there. Malassi, get a turn of it. We're going to do McFred with cheese, Eriksen, Alanga, Pellestri, and Ronaldo. I'd like to also see Garnacho, but I imagine Pellestri's next up. But we'll see. What do you got, sir?
Dave saves. You're going to see Delo, Martinez, Lindelof, Malacia. You're going to see Casemiro, Eriksen, Fred, Antony, Rashford, Ronaldo.
Strong.
He's going to play a strong 11. The competition's not done. If we win this game, competition's done. You have to remember we are playing Real Sociedad. Which one do you want to have to win? You want to have to win this one.
That's a good point.
Otherwise, you're playing Conference League. So I do think he's going to go strong here. United are the big favorites, according to the bookies, minus 850, draws plus 700. The win for Sheriff, plus 2,300. Given those the odds, what is your score prediction?
United win it, 2-0. You know, easy, comfortable win. Should have been more. What do you got?
3-0. United win 5-0 on aggregate, just like Real Sociedad. Sir, did we talk through the beat drop? Did you rob us of a Hansa Franz beat drop?
You were talking up Moldova football. Like, sir, I didn't want to interrupt you.
I mean, you got to apologize to American Red Devils fans, or at least Hans and Franz.
I apologize to Hans and Franz. You were on a roll, bro.
I can't hear the music. I'm going by your cue.
I know, but cutting you off.
You were flowing, sir. I think they're going to get their lawyers. I think they're going to tell us we can't play the theme on the pod anymore. I mean, they're so offended here.
Next time, I'll be sure to cut you off.
You can always listen to it again.
I'm good.
United in the news. United in the news. If one was enough, let's do it again.
Yeah, let's listen twice.
All right, let's talk about it. You know what we're going to talk about, the Ronaldo temper tantrum. So if I could recap it as best I could, Ronaldo walks off. He was going to come on in the 88th minute. I don't believe he was coming on. Like you mentioned, he would have come on for Alanga. Alanga and McTominay came on before then, and he was going to come on as a garbage time sub. As I recall,
we don't know what sub it is, but either way,
it's not like you're saying he was going to come on for Alanga, then he didn't. It was like literally he was going to come in the 88th or 89th minute, and Alanga came in before that. At that point, he just said, "I don't want to come on." He walked off. Now, obviously, the fact he was going to be put on and then he walked off is even worse. That's even worse for him. He then posted on social media, not really an apology, but for an ego like Ronaldo, I think that's considered an apology.
Ronaldo apology.
Did you read it? Because were saying it's like...
That's like a Ronaldo, says, I'm sorry, but He says,
quote, "As I've done throughout my career, I try to live and play respectfully to my colleagues, my adversaries, and my coaches. That hasn't changed. I haven't changed. I'm the same person and the same professional I've been for the last 20 years playing elite football, and respect has always played a very important role in my decision-making process. I started very young. The older and most experienced players' examples were always very important to me. Therefore, later on, I've always tried to set the example for the youngsters that grew in all the teams I've represented. Unfortunately, that's not always possible, and sometimes the heat of the moment gets the best of us. All of us.
There you go. There's his sorry right there.
Right now, I just feel that I have to keep working hard in Carrington to support my teammates and be ready for everything in any given game. Giving into pressure is not an option. It never was. This is Manchester United, and united we must stand. Soon we'll be better together again." So, he bet that that's the equivalent of Ronaldo bending the knee.
Oh, that's a ring kiss. Yeah.
That's, I mean, like, people want to say, what do you want him to say? I mean, like, that's him basically saying, like, my B.
For the public, that's all we need.
I'm going to bend the knee. Obviously, his PR team wrote that. And then Manchester United released a statement. And then Ten Hag gets to look like tough guy Ten Hag, right? And everyone looks good. Ronaldo apologized. Ronaldo is suspended by the club. Ten Hag says there's rules, and if it's broken, then there's consequences. Ten Hag looks like the boss, like he should, and then Ronaldo will come back into the team. And so at the end of the day, I'm going to say this could be a very healthy thing for the locker room, because Cristiano Ronaldo is a habitual line stepper.
Habitual.
Has been clapped by the manager, and he has tucked tail and apologized. It's not like he could have after this, like literally just like refused to show up.
I know.
And that's where my whole argument goes. And everyone, like, look, I'm a Ronaldo Muppet. Look, I'm a Muppet, but I'm also a Manchester United Muppet. And I look at who we have to score goals, and you see Rashford out there, can't score at number nine. And then Martial, who was good in preseason, has been injured like multiple times and has not played. And then who else can score goals? Oh, there's a guy who scored the most goals for Manchester United last year by like a mile. Who is that guy? That's Ronaldo. So like, even though I'm Ronaldo Muppet, like I know that if Rashford's not going to step up a nine and Martial's going to be injured, we need him playing for us. We need it. This whole like hate Ronaldo, like just apologize for Ronaldo thing is not what I'm about. I'm about the manager seeing like how we can get out of Hans and Franz land and up the table. And that is goals, and we need them. And we don't have someone who can play striker. And Ronaldo is someone who can play it, and he's over the hill. He hasn't been great this year.
He hasn't.
But who else is going to do it? Don't you think we'd be better today playing Chelsea if Ronaldo was at nine and Rashford was on the left and Antony was on the right? I think we would be better.
But that's not the point. The point is, like, he fucked up. He did something that...
Let me have my piece,
and then you can...
No,
sorry,
but I'm not saying that... Don't take the fucked up thing out of it. Take
I'm
the
just
fact
trying
that he
to
fucked up out of
call
it and
down,
say, would we be better?
Down the middle, which is, like, he did a bad look, which is leave early, refuse to go on. Whether or not Erik Hag should have brought him on earlier or played him more, that's... I'm removing that from the discussion. What I'm saying is, like, he fucked up. He looked bad. All these apologists, I think that's also a bad look, but the manager handled it well. Ronaldo has thus far since handled it well. He came to training, like you said. He could have just pieced off to Portugal until the World Cup. Honestly, he could have. And apparently, he is willing to apologize to the fan, not the fans, to his players, which is a prerequisite for coming back into the squad. But the manager is just like, you got to apologize to your teammates, and he's willing to do that. And then let's move on from here. We could have used him today, like you said, but he had to send the message, for rightly so. I know it's Ronaldo he's dealing with, but like at the end of the day, we have been plagued with managers that had players that think they were better, bigger than the club. And I know Ronaldo at this moment actually is, just given how big Ronaldo is and how United's not on the front foot. And he needed to kind of instill his dominance, because this guy is like 4 months into his tenure at Manchester United as a new manager and basically total confidant running everything, because he's running everything right now, as he should, because he's more experienced being a director of football than our director of football. But I think he handled this well. Ronaldo has since handled it better, and I think he'll start on Thursday, and that's that. And he would have played today in some capacity. And it's unfortunate, but I think Ten Hag's hands were tied. He had to bench him, and he had to pull, not bench him, but kick him out of the squad for a match.
No,
because
I'm
you
not
have to send a message.
I'm not talking about like the incident. I'm talking about if you look at our roster, like, and you're the manager of Manchester United, like, you need Ronaldo on side this season because we don't have a lot of bodies. And it seemed to me like there is something that led to this. This isn't Ronaldo didn't like play a lot and got a lot of playing time. And then all of a sudden the manager like just didn't play him one game. This has been brewing is what I'm talking. If anyone's going to analyze the situation, Ronaldo is getting snubbed by Ten Hag, and it had been brewing, and it kind of led to the situation.
But he also, and he skipped preseason, dude. He just like totally ghosted preseason.
He was, it's not like, so.
But he did.
You can go, now you can go even before that and be like, the club should have voided his contract. Definitely. And let him go and then signed Cody Gakpo.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can go, like the whole situation starts with the board of Manchester United shoving Ronaldo down Erik ten Hag's throat.
That's
when
the problem.
When he wanted Cody Gakpo. That is the literally source of the problem. Then, it's not Ten Hag's decision. It's not Ronaldo's decision. Now, no one wanted to buy Ronaldo. That's a fact. No one wanted to pay Manchester United money to take on the $50 million a year wages that Ronaldo has. So Glazers basically said, keep him here. He's going to make a lot of money for our commercial revenue, basically. So then Erik ten Hag has to somehow work with him. And I'm sure Erik ten Hag was miffed at how Ronaldo wanted out and the way Ronaldo did it. I don't think Ronaldo – I blame Ronaldo for us not making Champions League and then like a month later saying he wants to leave because there's no Champions League. That was a weird move by him. I think Ronaldo messed – he waited too long. If Ronaldo basically – he peaced out of Crystal Palace, didn't play the game. Went to it.
I know.
He should have said, I want out. And then ultimately the club should have let him leave. I don't think Ronaldo handled it well. I think Ten Hag was pissed at Ronaldo when he came back.
Yep.
And I think there's been something brewing and this blew up. Now here's the saving grace. The situation has been dealt with like A plus by Ten Hag. He looks good. He looks like he's the man. The club backed the manager, which is like finally they made the right call. And Ronaldo had to bend the knee, and he did. Now let's hope this clears the air, and we're going to see some Mo Better football for Manchester United. Because make no mistake, it's not just hate Ronaldo. If he's here, we need him scoring goals. We need him happy. We don't need him miserable. And this is just going to be the if he's backing up Tony Martial, that's totally fine. But we need Ronaldo playing well for Manchester United because you saw today what we look like without a number nine who can finish. And guess what? Ronaldo hasn't had good finishing this year, but we haven't seen Martial either.
Nope.
And Rashford hasn't finished well in that position. So we got to find somebody. So that's what I'm saying. If Ronaldo's not playing well there and he's walking off and Martial is injured and Rashford doesn't look good there, then why doesn't Garnacho get a shot? You know, or a longer, somebody's got to be able to play there, right? You have to find somebody at the end of the day. That's all I really care about as a Manchester United fan. I think this Ronaldo thing actually looks good for the club. I think it looks good for Ten Hag. I think Ronaldo did the right thing in bending the knee. So let's just put it all behind us. But I hope this clears the air where Ten Hag isn't just like, just stiffing him on the bench when we really need him.
Sir, I think we've said our piece. Totally agree. he's got a place in this side given that our lack of options. And I just hope we can all make nice at least until January, right? We do actually get a break in the fact that there's 6 weeks of football taken off the table where it won't be as much controversy. Obviously, you know, the pressers, will still be running wild, I'm sure, during the World Cup. But let's try and, like, integrate him back in the squad, starting with Thursday, freshen things up a bit. Marcus needs a blow, and Ronaldo needs minutes and needs some goals. So great opportunity to bring him back in. We move forward. Erik ten Hag looks like the boss, as he should be. And we just move on with our lives until the next piece of Ronaldo drama.
Yes, and that's probably the reason why the board can see now why they made the wrong call.
Yep.
Which is the wrong call is not listening to Erik ten Hag. That's and right. If ten Hag wants to play, like in the summer, we like rewind the tape. Ten Hag came early. He was at the Crystal Palace match that we were at. And he wants a young, hungry team that's going to press and have high intensity. And Ronaldo's not going to do that. So why are you going to keep him here? And the reason why you can void his contract, Ronaldo wanted out, you void the contract. You don't get any money, but then you go buy Gapco, and then we're totally probably a different team. We're probably better for it. And that was the decision that was made by the Glazers that is not going well for this team right now. It's more than just Ronaldo throwing his toys out of the bath. It's the fact that he was made to stay when he didn't want to, and that's why. And then what happened now and what's been happening and probably the drama – think of all the drama behind the scenes we haven't seen that Ten Hag's had to deal with.
Sir, Glazer's out. We know they're the problem. Like the decisions that they've delegated to Ten Hag have by and large been solid, really good, right? Even the signings he's made, obviously we were paid for some of them. That's, you know, I think the people helping him execute the trades. But not letting Ronaldo leave is an error. It was an error from the beginning. It was obvious it was an error. Just because, like you said, the style of play that he expects is not something that Ronaldo could accommodate at 37, 38 years old. So it's time to move on. Let's just get to January. Then I think you cancel his contract because you could have the opportunity to bring in another player. But getting to our next piece of news, sir, ain't no more money. Ain't no more money to be spent on this team because, this, you know, we shot our load. This is like our top four money. You know, it's like get him there.
You bring up a great point because when you look at the team against Tottenham and you look at Anthony, Rashford, and Sancho front line, and you look at the pressing that they did up top and how effective it was. So the thing about Rashford pressing as a nine is very effective.
Very effective.
Very effective, but he can't
finish.
He's having trouble finishing.
Yeah. He's doing everything else really
so
well.
So the thing is, if you put Ronaldo there, the press starts with the number nine. It's like you almost have to change the way you're going to play fundamentally, which is why he shouldn't be at the team. If you're going to hire Ten Hag as your manager, you can't have Ronaldo as your striker, right? And then you're getting to the spot where the manager's making concessions because the board wants commercial revenue, and that's really the core problem at Manchester United at the moment. And another core problem is ain't spending more money. John Murtaugh, quote, ultimately we made a record level of investment for a single window, reflecting the conditions in the market, but also our commitment to supporting the manager. Quote, we always said that reshaping the squad would take more than a window. We're already working with Eric on the next steps in that process with a focus on next summer and beyond. We don't anticipate anyone coming in January. And we don't expect to spend heavy against that next summer. Why would you not again? We needed a midfielder last January. There are cheap options available, even free options available. We did not go for one. We missed out on top four. We're dying for a number nine, a striker. We need one. Why would you not get one and move on to help move on for top four, especially considering how many more games are going to be played after January because of the World Cup? It's a no-brainer that we get another striker.
Yeah. Of course, like a smart, diligent club that hadn't bled the club dry at this point, where, you know, you would argue that spending £227 million last summer was irresponsible, given the balance sheet, and that we weren't in Champions League football. Like, it's borderline irresponsible to double max out a club's credit card. So they're not going to go even farther. They've kind of shot their shot, sir. This is like the big spending they did to kind of give their new manager a boost, and then they're going to let him ride or die with that investment, because, you know, they think this squad's good enough to get in the top four. If you were looking at this, see what you're seeing, you'd be like, we got to get in a workable number nine in January. That doesn't have to be like the future for the club. Move Ronaldo on right there, because he'll save $25 million on his wages in the second half of the season, and then buy like an even more established number nine in the summer. And you know they won't be doing that, but that's what they should be doing. Like, you should have two strikers on your target list. Gapco could be one of them. He could be the January one.
They just got more expensive. Months.
So again, he got way more expensive. He could have been half for $25 million, and now he's matching like Collins' goal and assist output, which is pretty ridiculous. Obviously,
Gapco got more expensive, but you know what got cheaper? Frankie De Jong.
He did. His price just keep on dropping.
It's like, oh my god! It's like, you know what we need, sir? We need a plan. We need a plan. We don't have a plan. That is the main problem with Manchester United. There's been no plan, and hopefully, we might be hiring this guy that could help us make a plan. And that
plans.
Is
he's a planner,
Edwin van der Sar. I mean, they're thinking about making him the director of football. Why would he be the director of football? He should be the CEO. Why do we need the numpty Richard Arnold? He should be the CEO of Manchester United. Huh?
Because this is the best we could ever hope for, because they would never make a real football person the CEO of Manchester United PLC. So they see this as a money transfer vessel for the Glazer children. So at the end of the day, I don't think he'll bite on this, because, dude, Van der Sar is the CEO of Ajax. And obviously, Manchester United is a much bigger club than Ajax. But he's going to want the big job, I would think. You know, do you think he'd be willing to come in and be, I don't know where you are in the hierarchy, maybe third? I don't know if there is a COO at Manchester United at the moment.
Maybe it's, no, maybe CFO.
Maybe it's Joel Glazer. Maybe the CFO. That's a good point as well. But I love Van der Sar. Sir, you know, maybe, like, I saw this a couple of days ago, and I was like, maybe they're finally listening to the fucking manager, because I guarantee the person that would be putting this in the ears of the heavies at Manchester United would be Erik ten Hag. Like, you need someone who's legit running that guy, John Murtaugh's role, because that guy's a fucking idiot. And we saw how he did over the summer, you know, spending late, overpaying for players. So if we could get this, this would be an unbelievable step in the right direction for Manchester United.
I wouldn't say he's not interested. I mean, he sold us like all of his players. Like,
that is true. Man, he did sell all of
his players. He loves Manchester United. You know,
loves it.
Like, director of football, it probably devils in the details of the terms.
Right.
Right. That's most likely what the issue is here with Edwin. You know, I think this is a move in the right direction, obviously, because the way it's working now is you got like, so Murtaugh's director of football, he's doing so good, we're going to hire somebody. Like, come on, man, give me a break. That guy's, it's like we're all those numpty, like numpty do and numpty dumb, like Arnold and Murtaugh running around the world trying to sign players. Like, you know, it's like those
he's an upgrade,
two,
bro. He's a big upgrade.
It's like those guys are just doing whatever Ten Hag wanted to do, and that's not right. That's not how you run a multi-billion-dollar sporting institution. Like, the director of football should have, like, Lily's 20 people working for him. It should just be, like, the staff that he had to run the footballing operations of Manchester United. You need, like, a data team. You literally need, like, a data team. You need, like, probably 10 people just running, like, analytics on, like, all the world football, all of world football, and figuring out who's the next up-and-coming talent. Like, you need, like, data. You need, like, obviously we have scouting and data probably go hand in hand. And then you need, like, a ton of people underneath you. We have the women's team. We got youth. We have all this stuff. We do not have that. And so if Edwin can come in and build that, that would be a step in the right direction for Manchester United. But the fact that we're running around with those two idiots those and guys. The way we're doing it, and they're just listening to the manager like it's Fergie, like literally 20 years ago, it's the same way Manchester United is doing it. It's, like, scary. It's literally scary. Like, don't be fooled. And how brutal things are in the front office. But let's jump into fan questions. Great question here. At MHersey5, if we had a proper striker like Haaland, would we be in first place?
If we had Haaland, I mean, proper striker. I don't know if you could say a proper striker like Haaland, because Haaland's like a generational talent. And also, he just like
a target,
like a cog in a wheel, bro. He fit like the perfect team for him to join is a city side that just creates so many opportunities. Basically, just like has always liked to just pass the ball in the net, and here he is, like an unbelievable finisher, a physical beast. So if we had
imagine him with Rashford, be even more dangerous.
Oh, he'd be Rashford on the left, and Eriksen and Bruno behind him.
I actually think we're a better team for him to play in because City is used to passing the ball in the net, not the runs
stretching
in behind.
Teams, yeah.
I think we do is do the runs in behind. Think about breaking with Eriksen and Bruno, and then threading those balls with Rashford running behind. I really think that, you know, we'd probably be competing for the league with a player like Haaland, but you would have to then sign everyone we did, which is 200 million, and then sign Haaland. And obviously, if we signed Haaland in that window that Dortmund got him, we wouldn't have gotten Bruno. And the story goes on and on and on. Obviously, if Harry Kane, if City signed Harry Kane, then they wouldn't have Haaland, and then maybe we would have him. But yes, you can't play at the top level in the top league in the world and not have like a lethal striker.
It's true.
Look at Chelsea don't have one.
Nope.
Chelsea don't have one. How's that going for them?
It would make a huge difference for us. We know it. I mean, look at today's game. Look at the Newcastle game. Look at them. Rashford's played well. He just hasn't been finishing. And you know, he's better on the left. I think he'd be more effective on the left because he's more confident out there. And we need like a locked on number nine. Like you said, we never replaced Romelu Lukaku. So that was what, 2018? It's been a minute, sir. It's been a minute. 19 maybe? It's just we need a number nine, Odi Ighalo, the Cavani's of the world. We need to like buy.
So I'll tell you, it's been a while because Lukaku like left us, then signed for Chelsea, then left Chelsea. Like,
and was really good at Inter, went to Chelsea for like 100 million. Then when it was like terrible, and now he's like smoking butts, apparently. They're like, he's not doing great.
At Ty Kircher, quote, we are riding our luck by not finishing our chances. 2 and 3 more chances we wasted today. Bring in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as finishing coach? Question mark. Sorry for smiling there, Ty. 5 points from the last 9 available. Should have been 9 out of 9, but good to see the fight. Just how badly do we need that number 9? Look, our fans.
Get it.
They get it. They absolutely get it. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, finishing coach? What do you think?
I mean, that's probably what he's qualified to be. Like a striker coach, you know, he'd probably do pretty well, but not being the main man with all the pressure.
How much money would we pay him? And he hasn't even got a job since he left United. Huh?
You don't
need, 20 million?
You don't need a
20
job,
million?
Bro. You don't need a job. When you get paid 20 million, you can take a couple years off.
That contract is like, you offer people contracts.
Bro, they paid out Rangnick. Like, what they else paid out Rangnick for his 2-year consultancy. Because they're like,
yeah, well, they pay him to shut him
exactly,
up. Exactly,
like,
bro. They pay to shut him up.
This guy's just too honest. He's just spitting too much hot fire.
People are going to like literally tell him how bad everything is. At Jamal Mota, sirs, what a finish. A Fergie squeaky bum time classic. We dominated most of that match. and the penalty was soft, but proud of how he played and kept at it. Very much missing Ronaldo, and clearly we need another striker that can finish, but the progress is evident. Hashtag Glazers out.
Progress is evident. That must be said. Like, we did dominate this game like we haven't in a long time, reminiscent, of course, of the game earlier this week, but we had so much more legs on Wednesday. We were all over them. And I think Spurs are just not physical, a bunch of baby bitches, whereas Chelsea, like, they are a decently physical side, right? Kovacic of the world. Like, so I think, you know, we just didn't have that same ump, but we did. So there's a style of play that's coming through that's exciting to see.
At MMarin underscore 805, quote, we dominate half of the first half until Kovacic comes in. How did that man neutralize our entire attack? We get scored on. Suddenly we have urgency. Don't understand that at all. And why does Erik ten Hag resist using the young guys?
It's a good question.
You know, Kovacic neutralized our attack because it was like Loftus-Cheek, Jorginho. And like from a defensive perspective, like they just added another CDM and they neutralized Eriksen, who was really unlocking things. So it was Eriksen and Casemiro unlocking the midfield and they just like shut that down. But after that, we didn't have like another ace up our sleeve. And as far as the urgency, that's a good question. We were neutralized and kind of got frustrated. I also think we're tired as well. I think we were tired. Definitely. And then you get scored on. And then I think that adrenaline's pumping. Like we're frustrated with the horrible call away. And then we come back. I love to see that throw the kitchen sink in late. And as far as Erik ten Hag, why does he resist the use of young guys? For me, Erik ten Hag, he's stubborn, man. He's a stubborn guy. He's just like plays his guys. Like Malacia came in, right? The whole point that I'm going to nullify is the whole like don't play Garnacho. It's literally he just trusts in Malacia, who's like young and inexperienced in the Premier League right out of the gate. Like, and Garnacho can't get a sniff.
It's his guys. Well, you know what?
It's not his guys. He didn't play. Malacia didn't play for Ajax.
Yeah, but he signed him. He picked
no,
him
he
out.
Saw
and,
him. He saw
him and signed
play,
him.
He saw him play in the Eredivisie on a different team.
I understand that,
but,
against him, but he did pick him out because he was picking up transfers.
He's stubborn, dude.
Hey, he's definitely stubborn. I'm not arguing with you that he's stubborn, sir. I agree. More of these junior attackers, the Pellistri, he just came back from injury, but Garnacho should have gotten a sniff by now. I do think there was a discipline thing a little bit earlier. Like, didn't he walk out with Ronaldo during the preseason match? So we never know exactly what's going on behind this. He was, I believe so. Him and, I don't know if it was Bruno there as well. But either way, I agree. Like, he should be giving those guys more of a sniff, especially Facundo, now that he has looked really good at times in preseason before he got hurt against Atletico. Dude, Thursday is the match for that. I'd love to play like Ronaldo up front, and then two young wingers on each side of him.
So Garnacho, last season, he got like 10 minutes in the EPL.
But he was tearing it up in the youth ranks, right? They won the Youth Cup probably largely because of him. So, and when he did come on in some matches, he looks electric. Like, we know he's a talent. It's just, I think
he's got 19 minutes in the Europa League across two matches. That's pretty much it.
So. Not much.
Yeah. But yeah, no, he played right wing against Real Sociedad. And then he came on as a garbage time 1 minute sub against Sheriff away to like waste time. So he did get a sniff against Real Sociedad. It's just been a long time. But yeah, no, I think we should be like Iqbal looked good. Like I like to get, that's why I like to go up against Sheriff at home to get these kids in. I want to see him because like we saw Iqbal in preseason look good and he needs to get a sniff. I hope Ten Hag is open to that idea. But look, that's it. That's the podcast. We are four fans by fans here at the America Red Devils. We appreciate everyone listening week in, week out. The highs and lows, man, this has been a crazy month with all these fixtures. And don't forget, with the World Cup coming up, it kicks off in less than a month. It's insane. As far as the league, the World Cup is going to blow a hole in every single team's form. People are going to get injured at the World Cup. People are going to come back haggard from the World Cup.
Yep.
It's going to be crazy to see how this impacts everything. So there's going to be a huge shakeup. But right now, we got to keep our heads down and get as many points in the table as possible. But I think like Arsenal could go in to the World Cup, top of the table, come out of it just like awful. I think you're going to see teams get affected in so many different ways you couldn't even predict since this is the first year it's happening.
It's a great point, and there's no doubt about it, right? Given that you never had it where you just have an interruption because of another international competition. So it'd be one to watch. Got to keep the momentum up. Three winnable games, at least in the league, to finish this stretch before the pause for the World Cup. If we got all 9 points, we'd be sitting pretty, sir.
If you want to support the podcast, you can do so in many ways. Patreon, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check out our store, AmericanRedDevils.store. Check out our website, AmericanRedDevils.com. Sir, what are our top 10 downloads last 7 days?
Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Thompson Station, Tennessee, Preston, UK, Denver, Colorado, London, England, Phoenix, Arizona, Los Angeles, California, Chicago, Illinois, Waynesville, North Carolina, Manchester, England, and last but not least, Glen Burnie, Maryland. Appreciate all American Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. Big match on Thursday. Sharif, do the business. Let's see some squad rotation. Let's see some youngsters play. But for now, UNITED, United are the team for me, sir. Talk to you soon. Enjoy your weeks.
Let's go.